Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We continue to celebrate the gift of Easter. Christ is risen. He's risen from the dead. And that literally changes everything. Humanity has reason to hope. Now, it's interesting. Over the last year, I've been just doing some kind of, maybe if you listen to the program, you've heard a few of my thoughts and reflections about kind of where the broader culture is going. And one of the characters that I've spoken about a few times on the program is an Israeli scholar, a Jewish scholar named Yuval Harari, who is maybe a cultural historian, you'd say, something like that, from Israel, I think born and raised there. And he's been like the counsel and maybe the guru in some ways of the Silicon Valley or some of the Silicon Valley giants. And he's got a particular take on the world. And he's a very influential guy. He's written three best-selling books. One's called Homo Deus. And part of the conversation he's in is interesting to see what a post-Christian world is attempting to figure out about what do we do about death, what do we do about living with hope, what do we not having hope, what do we do about meaning, the problem of meaning. And they take an approach, he takes the approach in a nutshell, said as human history has always been characterized by different leaders at different times who've risen to power and have told the story that gives people a sense of meaning. So he would say, even though he's an atheist, he's an unbeliever, he's a practicing homosexual, he's Buddhist, that he's got certain kinds of spirituality and stuff. He's talking to executives from Google and he's describing, he said, you know, if you lived in the 13th century, the story makers of the time, the great storytellers, the myth maker, you'd find them in the Vatican. He said, the Vatican did a great service to humanity. They were the ones who had the power and the influence and the ability to tell a story. And their story was about a living God, which they inherited from the Jewish people, ultimately, right? The whole story of Genesis to Revelation and the story about God. And that there was a God who, in the story about God, they called it a myth. They say this myth is the one which we say it all began with a God who is an intelligent being, who is revealed as a personal God. And he said that satisfied people for a long time, an explanation of evil, the idea of sin and death and hell. And so he knows that stuff. And he said, but that whole myth or that whole story, which captivated the minds of people, a majority of people, or at least in a certain part of the world, for a very long time, gave way eventually to what he described as the modern period of the turn, not away from looking outside ourselves to receive meaning and a story from a God, but turning into the subject, turning inside and saying, I create my own story, that there really is a story and I have a spirit myself and how I feel and what I define as the key thing. And so we've seen that happen in our culture. And he said, but now we know for sure, and here's a technological mind speaking, and lots of young people are getting influenced by this and others as well. He said, but technology has shown us that we know for sure that there is no soul or spirit in human beings. And that's a question I'll take up at another time. But they say, we know now when you get down to the nano level of a human being, what are we made up? We're made up of algorithms. So man is nothing but matter in motion. Man's a machine. And he said, so he speaks to Silicon Valley because he's trying to convince them to say, look, right now you're the myth makers. You've got all the power. The whole world is looking at you. You're impacting the whole world like nobody else has in terms of a technology and of a capacity to tell a story and all the rest of it. Said, now it's Silicon Valley's responsibility to describe what the future is going to look like, to help people understand its meaning and to find not ultimate, but enough meaning to satisfy them. So they're actually having these kinds of conversations. But the consensus is, at least for some of them, some of the key players in it, is to say, we know that previous stories aren't true. And so we can't go back to those stories. So we have to create our own. Christians would say, au contraire, the story continues. Why? Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It's not something we made up. It's something that's real. We're talking about a historical fact. We're talking about a historical person. And the testimony, the credible testimony of the lives of those who saw him, touched him, experienced him, and what we know through history, what the church has proclaimed. Friends, the church is just as confident as she's ever been in her soul of the great story of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King. He's the Lord. Human history is moving toward the full revelation of Jesus. He'll come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. But it's interesting how some of these sort of kings of the earth today, someone like Elon Musk or others, are saying, yes, the development of technology is going to have positives. The development of AI is going to lead to the capacity to produce goods and services at an unbelievably high level. It's going to be cheap. It's going to be plentiful, but it's going to lead to a very difficult situation because a significant half or more of the population, adult population, is not going to be able to find work. There won't be jobs. It'll all be done by AI and robots and all the rest. And so they said, that's going to be trouble. What are we going to do? Because two things. One is, how are people going to make money to live on? They said, okay, well, we'll solve that by creating a currency, you know, a universal kind of currency. We'll just pay people, give people the equivalent of a salary every year. People don't have jobs. They can do with it whatever they want to do. But that doesn't solve everything either, even though that's probably not going to work in some ways, because just giving people money without people working and earning money is just, it's not going to work ultimately. So lots of reasons for that. I won't take up on the show today because it's not my main point. But the second thing they're saying, and Elon Musk put it this way, he said, the big problem is the problem of meaning. Where will the human race find meaning? Why will human beings want to get out of bed? Why will they find life worth living? How will that happen? He said, because throughout history, human beings have found it through faith or through work, or both together. And it had meaning, and people got up and they did useful things that contributed to life and society and to family and all the rest. But all that stuff is being redefined and reshaped. And these guys, I think they're dead wrong, but these guys think it's just a matter of coming up with the right myth. Okay, Silicon Valley, come up with a story. But to me, if you actually are the inventor of the story, then you know it's made up. It's make-believe. If you made it up, you're just a creature. You're going to be dead soon. You're like everybody else. They assume that the story of God, the story of Christ, is just a story made up by some people in history, that most of it really didn't happen. This is the moment for the church because, friends, if it goes the way they're describing, it's already moving in that way, and humanity, as Pope Benedict described it, is sliding back into darkness. And as it moves in that direction, and the story of God is sort of dethroned, you might say, is rejected, then all the old stories try to make their way up. The old gods start appearing. Like just recently, I read an article that part of the narrative that's being pushed today, that Catholicism is a colonizing power, and that everything it conquered, so to speak, is just as significant, just as important, because everything is relative and everybody's story matters and everybody's story is true to the degree that they believe it's true and it's their truth, all those kinds of things. And now in elementary school in Los Angeles, they're now going to not only study the Aztecs, which is a very good thing to do, but they're going to conjure up, you know, the gods of the Aztecs and to go through ceremonies and do things like that. And so this is how the old gods that were conquered by Christ resurface, so to speak. We need to keep our mind clear, friends, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It fills us with hope, as I've talked all week. In the person of Jesus, we see the future of humanity. And he's full of life. He's full of love. And he has the power, as he described in the Gospels, to give eternal life. That's literal eternal existence, life beyond death, sharing in the glory of God to whomever he ultimately chooses. And his heart is full of mercy and love and goodness. But always remember that Jesus is not only Savior, but he's Lord. All power and authority belongs to him. And he has come to establish a kingdom. And Paul tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus is going to, and he is to this day, you can ask the question, what is Jesus doing? Well, what we know from revelation of Scripture is he's interceding for us in the presence of the Father. The Lamb who laid down his life, his wounds are now sources of great glory, and the offering of his life is before the Father, and the Father's love pours through the Son for the sake of the salvation of human beings. But he also, Paul tells us, he's subduing the enemies of God, all those who are opposed to the rule of God. Jesus has conquered. He's giving a period of mercy for human beings to come and receive the kingdom. But the power of the devil has already been broken. His back is broken. And Jesus will come again in glory. We say it every Sunday, but I don't know how deeply we think about it. He's coming now as a judge when he comes again in glory. Judgment belongs to the Son. He came the first time as a lamb in mercy to lay down his life for the salvation of the world, to put on offer the gift of salvation, the gift of new life, the forgiveness of sins, victory over the power of sin and death. Jesus came to give it as a free gift to all those who say yes to him, who believe in him. That's why he said eternal life is this, to believe in God, in his own, to believe in his Son whom he sent. He looked right into the eyes, we heard it just a few weeks ago, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were trying to trip him up. He summarized it in one line, a negative version of what we often hear positively. He said, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. This is the human condition. And anybody who dies in their sin is an enemy of God. Jesus is coming, Paul says, the final enemy to be destroyed will be death. And so when he comes again, the book of Revelation said, people will pound their chests when they see him, and those who were opposed to him, those who were indifferent to him, those who just acted as if he didn't exist or created their own kingdom against his kingdom by just creating your own kingdom and denying his, you make yourself his enemy. And he's the unstoppable, indestructible Lord of all power and dominion and glory and majesty belong to him. He cannot be harmed. He cannot be defeated. And anyone who refuses to accept the gift, who refuses to follow the light that God himself is showing in their hearts, and only God knows, and only God can make that final judgment. But Jesus will come and he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. He is Lord and he is King. He is his story, the Father's story. The story from Genesis to Revelation is the story. There is no other. Everything else is counterfeit. Everything else is made up, and nothing else will satisfy the human heart. Only the story of God, revealed perfectly in the Son, who is God's word to a fallen world. He is God's final word to a world that's trapped in rebellion and that acts and lives as if he doesn't exist. Kings of the earth are setting themselves in these days against the Lord and his anointed. They say, let's throw off his commandments, Psalm 2 tells us. Let's live as if he doesn't exist. But the Psalm tells us this is total futility. God sits in the heavens and laughs. He said, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I've given the nations to my son. All authority belongs to him. And then David, shaken, not afraid at all of the kings of the earth, says he warns the kings of the earth, don't be fools. Bow down, kiss his feet, acknowledge him. He's God, he's Lord, he's unstoppable, and his judgment will come upon you. His power and dominion will come upon you if you don't repent. That's another key element of what we're actually celebrating this week, friends. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.